Exploring and Applying the Parables, Parva Press. The Parable of the Mustard Seed or the Mustard Tree. Luke chapter 13, verses 18 to 21, English Standard Version. He said, therefore, "What is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches." And again he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It's like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour, until it was all leavened." Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 to 33, English Standard Version. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour, till it was all leavened." Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 34. English Standard Version. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. And yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately, to his own disciples, he explained everything. The Mustard Seed. Introduction. The parable of the mustard seed is found in each of the first 3 Gospels. Matthew describes the seed being planted in a field, Mark in the ground, and Luke in a garden, the different places accurately reflecting the original Greek. Matthew and Luke set the parable with the parable of the woman hiding a small amount of leaven, dough containing live yeast, in a large amount of flour to cause it all to rise. In Mark's Gospel, the parable follows that of the seed growing quietly without any attention from the man who sowed it. Matthew and Mark note that Jesus drew attention to the smallness of the mustard seed. "As small as a grain of mustard seed" was almost certainly a proverbial saying. The plainest application of the parable. If the parable of the seed growing steadily produces a harvest, the mustard seed produces a very large plant, and the small amount of yeast digests and works its way through all the flour, then surely all 3 parables are parables of growth. It is the kind of growth that from a very small beginning quietly continues until it yields a very significant result, a harvest, a tree, or a batch of risen bread. We have an English proverb to the same effect: "Great oaks from little acorns grow." From a little acorn to a tender plant, then almost unnoticed, it grows year by year, until it becomes a broad-spreading and well-rooted tree. As C.H. Dodd observes, these 3 parables should not be separated or over-interpreted, but taken together as illustrating the remarkable growth of the kingdom of God. From such a small and apparently insignificant beginning, the kingdom will, over the course of time, become mighty and far-reaching. Such an understanding is in accord with the vision given to the prophet Ezekiel, who, when looking forward to the promised kingdom of the Messiah, spoke of God taking the topmost sprig of a cedar tree and planting it on the mountains of Israel. He spoke of God causing it to grow, to become a mighty tree, in whose branches the birds found shelter, as did the animals beneath. The little cedar cutting became a tree, which dwarfed all other trees, as the kingdom of God, under the Messiah's reign, will dwarf all other kingdoms and empires. None of this will surprise or offend us as modern people with the hindsight of 20 centuries of Christian history. The Lord's pictures exactly fit the growth of the worldwide company of God's people. However, these parables were completely new thinking to those who first heard them. They were countercultural and shocking. Certainly, our Lord's hearers were longing for the Messiah's majestic rule. However, the all-pervading yearning and hope of the oppressed people of Israel in our Lord's day, as the yoke of Rome lay heavy upon them, was of a powerful military kingdom that would overthrow their Roman conquerors and restore the nation of Israel to the power, wealth, and world position it enjoyed under King David and his son Solomon. This kind of expectation can be seen as the disciples asked the Lord Jesus, "Will you at this time restore Israel?" It also underlies Peter and John's longing to be in positions of power in his kingdom, and the shattered hope of Cleopas and his fellow disciple as they walked back from Jerusalem to Emmaus after the crucifixion, saying to the risen but unrecognized Lord Jesus, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." These three parables speak of the very different kind of growth of the kingdom of God. Not growth that is sudden, decisive, and won by military conquest and the overthrow of all enemies, but a kingdom that grows quietly and steadily without any of these things. Each of these parables teaches that the kingdom of God will come not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. It will be entirely different from this world's proud empires. Like the growth of the crop, the tree, and the leaven, the growth of the kingdom of God will be almost unnoticed. Nevertheless, eventually, like the leaven, it will permeate every nation on earth. Like the tree, it will fulfill God's purposes when full grown. And like the growing grain, it will be ready for God's final harvest. Such an apparently insignificant sowing would produce a worldwide people of God, watching, waiting, and ready for the return of God's anointed King. The Lord was challenging and correcting the mistaken nationalistic thinking of his hearers, and drawing attention to the ultimately dramatic and yet almost unnoticed growth of the kingdom of God, beginning with the days he spent among them until the day of his final return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is there a warning here for us in our day? We view the ancient nationalistic misunderstanding of the nature of the kingdom of God with the benefit of the gospel teaching of the New Testament, as well as 2,000 years of history. But it is challenging to ask, could such a misunderstanding be paralleled by some of our current Western expectations? We too are creatures of our age. Do we have widely held, yet mistaken, assumptions? The New Testament writers clearly saw new disciples as a people chosen, adopted, redeemed, and wonderfully caught up in the great purposes of Almighty God. At great personal cost, the apostles focused on building up the body of disciples so that as fellow labourers, believers could each play a God-given part in warning people of the judgment to come, in spreading the gospel of forgiveness, and in encouraging fellow disciples. They were fulfilling the Lord's commission, and so preparing for their Master's return, both in glory and in judgment. We live in a time when society has moved its focus from each of us playing our part in the whole community to each of us pursuing our individual rights and self-fulfillment. The great danger for us is that we import this thinking into our Christian lives and churches. If we do this, we will find ourselves assuming that the kingdom of God is here for our personal protection, comfort, and encouragement. However, like Jesus' hearers, we will have put our hope and trust in an understanding that is mistaken. In our churches, we will delight to meet and assure one another that God loves us and is here to bless us. But unlike the New Testament church, tend not to see ourselves as called to be a team of God's servants with a very great task to fulfill. We will delight in his promises, but pass lightly over his commandments. We will be more enthusiastic to be blessed in all that we are doing than to be challenged to turn from our ungodly ways, stirred by a clearer vision of the mighty purposes of God, and better equipped to spend our lives in his service. The parable of the mustard seed sharply challenged the expectation of the Lord Jesus' disciples and their fellow hearers. It completely overturned their hope of military and national supremacy. In our day, the Lord's words are a challenge to each one of us to examine our own assumptions concerning the kingdom of God.